Amen.
All right, I'm going to invite Emma to come up here. Let's all welcome Emma Eyrick. So Emma was on staff here at the church for a couple of years as our worship director and also director of students, and she did some other things too. But then she felt a call to go to Africa as a full-time missionary. So Emma, this is her last Sunday with us before she moves to Africa. She's going to tell a little bit of that story. But I want to let you know, we are going to pray for her at the end of service. And also, if you would like to financially support her, you can give your offering through the church and just mark Uganda Missionary Fund. You can do that online or in the offering boxes. But we're going to be supporting her, and she'll be back, I think, in May, maybe, for a visit. But we'll really want your prayers for her over the next year as she's doing stuff in Africa. It's kind of exciting. But I'm excited to hear what God's put on her heart. So if you guys would pray with me, I'm going to pray for Emma. So God, we thank you for Emma. We thank you for what you put on her heart to share today. And I pray that you would just give her your words to speak. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, I'm so excited to be back with you guys one more time before heading out. So I want to share a little bit with you this morning of something that the Lord has been stirring in my heart over these past couple of years. And it's just something that the Lord is calling me into a deeper place of. And so I want to start this morning by sharing a little bit of my story with you, a little bit of my testimony with you. So I know that I know a lot of you in this room, but some of you, this is your first time seeing me. So I want us to feel like we're friends and that you know a little bit about me this morning. So I was born and raised in a Christian home. I was one of those kids that it was never really an option to go to church on a Sunday morning. I remember there were a couple times where I would try to talk my parents out of letting me go to church so I could stay home and do homework, so I could really just sleep in and have another day off. And it was never an option for me and my brother growing up. We were at church every Sunday. We stayed for service. We stayed for Sunday school. We would stay to hang out with friends after. We would go on Wednesday nights, all of the things. And so I accepted Jesus then when I was just 8 years old at a vacation Bible school. And it really was this decision of I believe in Jesus and I don't really want to go to hell. And so I made this decision to give my life to Jesus. But I didn't know what a personal relationship with Jesus looked like. I didn't know the importance of reading my Bible every day, of praying, of taking steps of faith, of completely trusting him with my life. And so moving on into my eighth grade year, I was going to say of high school, but of middle school, I went to a summer camp, and this was the first time that I truly encountered the presence of the Holy Spirit. And it was a moment that completely changed my life, and it was actually at that same summer camp that I received a call into ministry. I had no idea what that looked like at this moment, but I knew that God had placed a calling of ministry on my life. And so all throughout high school, I began to realize this importance of a relationship with Jesus. It wasn't something that was just my parents' faith that I got to live off of, but it was a decision for myself. So I went on to college, I studied youth ministry, and really just fell in love with a lot of different areas of ministry. It was in this moment that I thought youth ministry was going to be the rest of my life, that I was going to graduate, I was going to get a full-time job in youth ministry, and go on to just live the rest of my life working in ministry. And so because I went to college for ministry, we were required to do an internship over the summer. It was about a 3-month internship at a church where we really would get a lot of hands-on experience in ministry. So I was supposed to do this internship in Florida in 2020, but that everything got canceled. So my internships got canceled, ended up coming back home. And so I was set to graduate in May of 2021 and then finish out my internship that summer. I was actually planning on going to a church in Texas. It was a big church right outside of Dallas where I was going to get to work with one of our previous campus pastors at my university. So I was really excited about this opportunity to get to go live in a new state, to get to go experience a new church, and just experience all areas of ministry. Well, as a lot of you all know, I was in a really bad golf car accident, in the 3 weeks between graduating and going to my internship in Texas. So I ended up with a broken pelvis, broken ribs, a lot of other things. But because of that, I had to stay home. I was in the hospital for about a week, and I remember in this moment being mad at God because I had all these plans. I had plans to go live in Texas for a summer. I had plans then to go back to Florida to get my master's degree. I had all these plans in my mind, and all of a sudden everything changed in a moment. And so going throughout that summer, I still needed my internship. So Pastor Clint was gracious enough to let me do my internship here at Lighthouse. And so I remember there were a lot of days where I would come in my wheelchair and I would sit in the office and do whatever work they had for me. And I remember just asking God, what is your plan for my life? I had all these plans. I had all these things I wanted to do, but God, what are you doing? And all throughout that summer, I felt like God kept telling me to stay in Indiana. And I said, no, I want to go back to Florida. I want to live by the beach. I want to go be with my friends. I want to go get my master's. I want to do all these things down in Florida. And it was the July of that summer. I had gone down for one of my friend's wedding, and me and my mom were sitting at a coffee shop in Florida. And I remember having this conversation with her and telling her, you know, I feel like I'm supposed to stay in Indiana, but I want to go to Florida. And I remember her telling me, you know, why don't you just stay for a semester? Stay in Indiana for a semester and just see what God does, see what happens. And so that was the first time that I had peace about this decision. So I said, okay, I'm gonna stay in Indiana. I was working at Martin's. I was a cashier at Martin's. So I was like, okay, God, I have a ministry degree. I'm working at Martin's, making my $12 an hour. I was like, I have no idea what you're doing. But I made this decision. I took this step of faith to say yes to what God was asking me to do. And it was after that that I stepped into an internship role of outreach and missions. And so ended up getting to go with Pastor Clint and Ben to Uganda in October of 2021. And that was a trip that I'll get to share more, but truly changed my life and really gave me a love for Uganda. And I always look back at that one decision to stay in Indiana. If I didn't stay in Indiana, I would not be going to Africa. And so I took this step of faith. Later on that year, Pastor Clint pulled me into his office and said, hey, our director of worship has stepped down. Are you interested in a position here at the church? And it truly was a dream job. I got to step into a role of leading worship, of leading mission trips, of doing outreach, working with students, all of these things that I loved, that if I wouldn't have said yes to staying in Indiana, I wouldn't have experienced that. And so over these past couple of years, it's really been just these moments of stepping out in faith and walking by faith. And so what does it mean to walk by faith? So the definition of faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. It's putting everything that we have, all the trust that we have, into a person or into a thing. The Bible's definition of faith is in Hebrews 11:1, and it says, now faith is a substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. It's regarding the promises of God. It's an assurance that what we hoped for will come to pass. That what God has said, what God has spoken, that it will come to pass. You see, God expects us to walk by faith. He asks us as believers to walk by faith throughout our lives. So a couple scriptures is 2 Corinthians 5:7. It says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. That we walk by the things that God has promised and not by the things of this world. Matthew 21:22 says, whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. And Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so there's this emphasis on living this life of faith all throughout the Bible. And there's countless scriptures that talk about living this life of faith. But as we're stepping into this new year, as we're going into 2024, I want to challenge you and I want to invite you all to walk by faith over this next year. It might not look like what you think it's going to look like. You might have plans for this next year. But I want to invite you to walk this next year completely by faith. So if you would turn your Bible to Matthew 14, 22 through 33. So this morning, we're going to read a story. And we're going to learn from Peter about what it looks like to live this life of walking by faith. So Matthew 14, verse 22. It says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and he began to sink, and he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, why do you doubt? And then they climbed into the boat, and the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. So the title of this morning's message is Walking by Faith. And so I'm going to pray and then we're going to jump into some points from the scripture. So God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is living and active. And so God, I pray this morning that you would just open up our hearts to receive whatever you want to speak to us this morning. God, I pray that my words would become your words. Holy Spirit, come. To your name we pray. Amen. So your first fill-in is we can walk by faith when we become comfortable with the uncomfortable. So in verses 25 through 27, it says, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, don't be afraid. And I love that it really gives the disciples raw emotions in this. It says that they were terrified. So I like to think about, so this is probably a pretty uncomfortable situation. They're in the middle of a storm. They're in the middle of their boat being turned back and forth. And all of a sudden, this man starts walking towards them on the lake, on the water. And so I don't know about you, but I would probably be crying terrified at this moment, seeing this. See, walking on the water was anything but comfortable. It was something that had never been done before. It wasn't natural. And after this incident, it hadn't been done after. So here was a moment where the disciples are already in this position of being in the middle of the storm. They're uncomfortable in the middle of this storm. And then they see Jesus walking towards them. Another thing that's uncomfortable for them to see. And they're trying to figure out, I can just imagine them trying to figure out, talking to each other, who is that walking towards us? Is it a ghost? You know, they're trying to come up with all these options in their mind of who could be walking towards them. And in that moment, the disciples could have made the decision. They could have easily let this uncomfortability overcome them. They could have laid down. They could have tried to hide from the man walking towards them, but they embraced this uncomfortability. And as we see later on in the story, that if Peter was going to do this miraculous thing, it was going to have to start with him being comfortable with this moment of uncomfortability. So I have these, I don't know if you can see them, but I have these boots on. Can everyone see them? They're nice. They look good, right? So they're a brand called Doc Martens. Does anyone have Doc Martens? Okay, like two of us. Okay, well, let me just tell you a little bit. I feel like this is the opposite of a sales pitch. So I have these shoes. They look really nice. I love them, but they are the most uncomfortable shoes you will ever wear in your entire life. And I had a friend who kept trying to convince me. He's like, you need to get Doc Martens. You need to get them. They'll become comfortable. Just buy them. And so I said, okay, fine. So they had a sale, so I bought a pair of Doc Martens. And I made the mistake of purchasing them in downtown Chicago and letting my friends talk me into then wearing them all around downtown Chicago right after buying them. I had blisters on my feet for like 2 weeks after. But they're very uncomfortable. But the thing with Doc Martens is that the more you wear them, theoretically, they're supposed to get more comfortable. So it takes time. I've had mine for a year and a half. They are starting to get a little more comfortable, but they're still the most uncomfortable pair of shoes I own. My feet are getting used to them. But it's this idea that the more that I wear them, the more that I take steps in them, the more that I wear them every day, the more often I wear them, the more comfortable they become on my feet. And it's the same idea with God, is that the more times in our lives where we embrace the uncomfortable, when we walk out in the uncomfortable, it starts to become more natural. It starts to become more comfortable to us. And it might be things that to the world seems crazy, still seems uncomfortable to the world, but when we walk in faith, when we continue to take these steps with God, it becomes more and more comfortable. So all throughout the Bible, there are a lot of stories and a lot of characters in the Bible who did uncomfortable things. So it was uncomfortable for David to go up against Goliath. It was uncomfortable for Moses to face Pharaoh and ask him to free his people. It was uncomfortable for Esther to face the king and ask him to not kill her people. But in all of these stories and all of these situations, if these people hadn't been uncomfortable, they wouldn't have seen these miraculous things. There's stories that we hear about in Sunday school. There's stories that we learn about, that we learn from. And if they wouldn't have been willing to be uncomfortable in these moments, we wouldn't be sitting here reading about these miraculous things that happen. But it all started with a moment of them being uncomfortable and taking a step of faith in that uncomfortability. So what is something that God is asking you to do that might seem uncomfortable? Are you willing to lean into that uncomfortability in order to see the miraculous things of God? And so your fill-in is, great things of faith will always start with an uncomfortable step. See, Peter walked on water. It was something that had only been done by Jesus. But it started with one step of him being uncomfortable in order to see this. If we want to see these great things that we read about in the Bible, if we want to see these miraculous things, we need to start by taking an uncomfortable step out onto the water. And that requires us to have faith and trust in God. So we can walk by faith when we become comfortable with the uncomfortable and when we trust the one who calls us. So verse 29 says, "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. You see, Peter had a history with Jesus. He knew Jesus. He trusted Jesus. Peter was one of the first disciples of Jesus. And if you remember in Luke, it tells the story of a fisherman who was out all night fishing and didn't catch anything. And Jesus comes along, you know, this man that Peter didn't know, comes along and says, "Hey, why don't you throw it out on the other side?" Threw it out on the other side and caught countless fish. And it was after that Jesus said, "Come and I will make you fishers of men." And it says that Peter dropped everything and he went with Jesus and he became a disciple of Jesus. And he trusted Jesus because he knew Jesus and he spent time with Jesus. So my mom is someone who I've spent quite a bit of time with over the past 24 years of my life. She's always the one that I drag along on trips with me. I make her do my errands with me, all these different things. And so I know her. And because I know her, I trust her. And there are things that she could tell me to do anything and I would follow her because I trust her. Because I spent time with her, because I know her character. So even something that might seem crazy to me, that doesn't make sense, if she told me to do it, I would do it because I trust her and I know her. She wouldn't lead me to something that would cause me harm. And I trust her with that because I've seen that time and time again throughout my life. And it was the same thing with Peter and Jesus. Peter trusted Jesus. He knew Jesus and he knew his character. He spent time learning from Jesus. And he witnessed Jesus do miracle after miracle. And so I mentioned that Peter trusted Jesus because he spent time with Jesus. Time is really the root of getting to know someone. The more you spend time with someone, the more you get to know them. The more you get to know them, the more you trust them. And so how much time are you spending with Jesus every day? Do you know him? Do you trust him with your life? And would you follow him blindly when he asks you to come? Would you trust him enough to say, I'm going to follow you, whatever that looks like? See, Peter knew Jesus' voice and when he was calling him because of his trust in him. So your fill-in is trusting in the one comes with spending time with the one. So our trust in Jesus and our time spent with Jesus go hand in hand. The more time we spend with him, the more we trust him. And the easier it becomes to say yes in these uncomfortable situations because of our trust in him. So we can walk by faith when we become comfortable with the uncomfortable, when we trust the one who calls us, and when we are obedient quickly. Again, in that same verse, verse 29, after Jesus had come, it said, then Peter got down out of the boat. He walked on the water and came toward Jesus. I love that there's no time between when Jesus called him and when Peter responded to the call. It doesn't say that Peter sat there and he waited and he decided if he was going to walk. It just says, then Peter got down out of the boat and he walked towards Jesus. He obeyed when Jesus told him to come. And see, if Peter didn't obey quickly, he would have missed this opportunity that he had. Jesus could have stepped into the boat, calmed the storm. Jesus could have walked past him. And Peter wouldn't have had this miraculous moment of walking on the water towards Jesus. And I think a lot of us miss out on what God wants to do because we aren't obedient quickly. An example of that is ministry time. See, the enemy loves to try to talk us out of responding to a ministry time, to saying yes to what God is calling us to do. And if we don't obey quickly, it gives the enemy more time to try to talk us out of it. So I want to challenge you with that. If the Lord is asking you to do something like responding to ministry time, don't wait. Because I don't want you to miss what the Lord has for you. So a little bit more of my story and going to Africa. So after this trip that I got to do with Pastor Clint a couple years ago, I really just fell in love with Uganda. Went back in 2022, August of 2022, took a team, and I knew then that the Lord was asking me to go for a year. And so I came home, and the Lord just began to open door after door. And so I spent a month over in Uganda this April and then took a team back in August. And now I'm moving in a little over a week, 8 days. And there were so many times where I thought, God, maybe this isn't until later in my life. Maybe this isn't for another couple of years. Maybe it's not until I get married or all these different things. You know, I had a job that I loved, but the Lord said, the time is now and I want you to come. And so I don't know what's on the other side. To be honest, I don't know what I'm doing in Uganda. Just trusting that the Lord is gonna open doors. And I'm just walking by faith, stepping out when he's asking me to come. So Peter, he was obedient, even though he didn't know whether he would sink or if he would walk on the water. But he trusted Jesus, and he knew that Jesus wouldn't lead him to something that was going to cause him harm. And so our last point for this morning is we can walk by faith when we keep our eyes on Jesus. And so in verse 30, it says, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. See, Peter started to sink the minute that he saw the wind and he saw the waves around him. He took his eyes off of Jesus for just one moment to look to the side, and he began to sink. And these things of the wind and the waves can be different things in our lives. They can be distractions. We can get busy. We can have a situation going on in our lives. Doubt. We can doubt whether God is really good or whether he's really calling us to do that thing. Distance from Jesus is another example of these wind or waves and hard seasons. If we don't keep our eyes on Jesus in every season, we start to sink. We start to feel like the world is caving in on us. But Jesus says, if you just keep your eyes on me, I believe that Peter would have continued to walk out to Jesus if he hadn't been distracted by the things around him. And again, he took this step of faith, not knowing what was on the other side of this obedience. So when it seemed unnatural, when it seemed uncomfortable, when it seemed scary, Peter chose to take a step of faith onto the water. And then in verses 31 through 33, it says, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And when he climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. You see, there are moments in my life where I didn't choose to take the step of faith, or I took the step of faith and then I got distracted and began to sink. But it was in this moment where Peter began to doubt that Jesus still reached out his hand and saved him. Because it's in his character. It's because of his grace and his mercy that even in moments where we might feel like we're failing, where we feel like we don't choose this step of faith, where we doubt, where we don't spend time with him, Jesus isn't a father that's just going to walk away. But he will still catch us. He will bring us back up. But I believe that this step of faith just unlocks a whole nother level of us knowing the Father. And it leads into seeing these miraculous things. So we can walk by faith when we become comfortable with the uncomfortable, when we trust the one who calls us, and when we are obedient quickly, and when we keep our eyes on Jesus. So I'm going to invite Pastor Clint up for ministry time.